If a Navi attempts to convince the citizens of a city to serve Avodah Zarah, he is a Navi HaMediach. And his halacha, according to the Chachamim, is the same halacha as a non-Navi who's Mediach. Just like an ordinary person who's Mediach, an entire city gets Skila, a Navi who's Mediach, the entire city gets Skila. And according to Rabbi Shimon, just like an ordinary person who's Mediach, the entire city gets Chenek, so too the Navi who's Mediach, the entire city gets Chenek. The din of a Navi HaMediach is the same as the din of a Hedyot HaMediach. The fact that the Navi on previous occasions was zoche to revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will does not in any way differentiate his din. Not only that, according to Rabbi Shimon, there's no reason to differentiate even in name between a Navi HaMediach and an ordinary person who's Mediach. An ordinary person is a Hedyot, and the Navi is a Hedyot. And therefore, says Rabbi Shimon, it's logical to learn the din of a Navi from the din of an ordinary person. The implication for at least Rabbi Shimon is that had the Navi not been performing such a foolish action of being Mediach, he would not be called a Hedyot. An ordinary person could be called a Hedyot. But a Navi, perhaps, if he's not performing a foolish action, cannot be called a Hedyot. And this gives rise to an interesting question. Is a Navi simply the mouthpiece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? When he's speaking, when he's channeling revelation through himself, he has an elevated status. But at other times, he's an ordinary individual? Or do we say no? A Navi, at all times, is a special, distinguished individual. Whether he's functioning as HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouthpiece, or whether he's functioning in his ordinary capacity. And I believe that this is a machlokes, perhaps amongst Rishonim, for sure amongst Achronim. Tosfos has a discussion. We know that it's a mitzvah to listen to the words, to the command of a Navi. Not only does this mitzvah apply when the Navi commands us to perform something which does not go against the law of the Torah, but the mitzvah applies even when the Navi commands us to transgress an Aveira, with certain exceptions. The Navi has this extra special authority, but the question arises, does the Navi only have authority to command us to transgress the Torah's laws when he does so with divine revelation? When he does so as a channel for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words? Or does the Navi have this authority even when he instructs us to transgress the Torah's laws of his own volition without having received an explicit prophecy that we must do so? The Rambam seems to hold that a Navi can only command us to transgress the Torah, that a Navi only has authority to tell us to transgress, when that authority stems from a divine revelation to the Navi. The Navi may not, in his capacity as a saintly individual, instruct us to do an Aveira. In contrast, Tosfos seems to believe that even without divine revelation, the Navi is capable, is empowered by the Torah to instruct us to do Averos and to demand our obedience. He is significant not only as a mouthpiece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His status as a Navi gives his words extra weight, even when he's functioning in a different capacity. This is a machlokes Rishonim. The parallel machlokes Achronim is as follows. In the parsha where HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs us about who may be a king amongst the Jews, who may be a public official, an appointee, a bearer of responsibility, invested with political power, the Torah instructs us, first, Mikerev Achecha, Tasim Alecha Melech. Your leaders must be from within your community. Lo Sucha Laseis Alecha Ish Nachri, Asher Lo Achicha Hu. You may not appoint as your leader a foreign man who is not from your brethren. The Pasuk also instructs us, Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha Bo, that your leader must be a man who is chosen by Hashem. And the Ramban asks, surely one of these two requirements is redundant. If he's a man who's chosen by Hashem, who is singled out by prophecy, then surely he will not be a foreign man, because Hashem with prophecy would not single out an Ish Nachri to be the king. So why does the Torah need to instruct us? Lo suchau la seis alecha Ish Nachri. Don't let a foreign man be king. If it's guaranteed that such a result will not come about because a prophet must participate in the king's coronation. And to this the Ramban answers that the Pasuk means if a Navi can be found to ratify the king's nomination, then it should be done. But if a Navi cannot be found, then the king is nominated simply by the Jewish nation. And that being so, there needs to be a mitzvah. Lo sucha laseis alecha Ish Nachri. However, I think Reb Aaron Cutler points out that this may not work for all of the Rishonim, and therefore he offers a different interpretation of what it means as Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha Bo. He says that it's not necessary for prophecy to participate in the king's coronation, but it is necessary for a prophet to participate. The coronation may not take place with the word of God in the prophet's mouth, but it will take place with the consent of a Navi. Once again, according to Reb Aaron Cutler, the Navi is functioning in a special role above and beyond his role as a mouthpiece for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's messages. As opposed to this, Rabbi Ginnack records from Rabbi Soloveitchik that the Navi has no second role. When he's Hashem's mouthpiece, he's a Navi. When he's not Hashem's mouthpiece, he's a commoner. Rabbi Ginnack, however, asks on this, in other words, supporting the idea of Rabbi Aaron Cutler, that a Navi is significant even when he's not relaying the divine message. From the words of the Rambam writes that even though there would be a hava amina, that certain men of stature are not obligated to bow to the king, even so they are obligated. Who are these men of stature whom one would have thought is exempt from the obligation to bow? Amongst their number, the Rambam lists a Navi, a prophet. Rabbi Gnak is Medayik. Surely, we are not talking about a prophet who's in the midst of prophesying. We're talking about a prophet who prophesied on other occasions, but right now he's not prophesying. And even so, there's a Hava Amina in the Rambam that he should be exempt from bowing to the king because of his stature as a prophet. Clearly, that stature does not derive from participation actively right now in the act of prophesying, but it derives from his status in general as a prophet. But one might say that the maskana of the Rambam's conclusion, that a prophet must nevertheless bow to the king, negates this very aspect of the Hava Amina. The Hava Amina was that the Navi is special even when he's not saying a nevuah. But the maskana, that he must bow to the king, perhaps is indicative that when he is not prophesying, he is no different than an ordinary chacham. Indeed, just traveling back very quickly to the shita of Tosfos, Tosfos says that when a Navi instructs you to transgress the laws of the Torah, you must listen to him, whether those instructions are derived from a prophetic message or whether it is simply instructions that he made up because he's a Navi. But one might argue on this interpretation of Tosfos, which is advanced by Rabbi Gnak also, by the way, as well, amongst other Achronim also interpret Tosfos this way. But one can argue and one can say that the mitzvah to listen to the Navi, according to the Gemara in Yevamos, is not at all because of his stature as an off-duty prophet. That's not why one must listen to him. Because the Gemara in Yevamos says one has an equal obligation, an obligation from the same source, to listen to a Talmud Chacham, to listen to a Torah scholar of sufficient stature when he instructs you to transgress the Torah, even though he is not a prophet. So perhaps the idea that Tosfos is trying to convey is that when a Navi instructs one to transgress the Torah, one must obey that Navi not because he's an off-duty prophet, but rather because he's a Torah scholar, because he's a sage, he's righteous. And that's why we can derive the halacha that one must listen to a Talmid Chacham from the halacha that one must listen to a Navi. Because our obligation to obey the Navi does not come from the Navi's stature as a Navi. It comes from his stature as a Chacham. And hence, both of these rayos to Rabbi Aaron Cutler's Yesod pose a problem. Both of these rayos that Rabbi Gnak wants to bring. Because the Rambam says that a Navi does have to bow down to the king, Lemaskana. So maybe that indicates that he's no different than an ordinary person. And when Tosfo says that one must listen to the Navi, even if he's not telling you to transgress through a prophecy, once again, that's not because of his stature as an off-duty Navi, but rather it's because of his stature as a Chacham Be'alma. However, the Raya that Rabbi Aaron Cutler has from the Ramban's Kasha, that might still work if one is compelled not to accept the Ramban's Teretz. But the Ramban's Teretz, indeed, is once again a raya against this yisod that an off-duty prophet has any special stature. There's more to say about this.